traveling between Philadelphia and New York City, and there's an ad poster up on the wall of the train. It says, "Ordinary men do extraordinary work," and there's a photo of five men, three white, one Asian, one black, all in clerical collars. Below them it asks, "Is God calling you to be a priest?" And there's a phone number and a website. I think, wow, the Vatican has to advertise now? Soon they may have to admit women. Soon they may have to admit God could be calling a woman to be a priest. Who knows who God is calling? Ordinary folks get called to do extraordinary work. Is God calling you to be a priest? A Yoruba priest, a Vodun priest, an urban griot poet priest, a hip-hop freestyle prophesizing priest, an activist organizer priest? What is your ministry to alleviate the misery? Because minute by minute, the masses get mixed up in the mundane minutiae of the moment and miss the miracles. What is your ministry, Mr., Miss., Mrs.? Don't miss it. Is God calling you? Don't tie up the line talking to someone just to pass the time or have that modem dialed up to the net logging on to www.underlyingspiritualcrisis.com. Is God calling you? Someone needs to turn water into wine. Somebody needs to turn the party out. Somebody needs to turn George W. out the White House. There are thieves in the temple. Is God calling you? Make sure you have call waiting, caller ID, call return, call forwarding. You don't want to miss this call. Somebody needs to love people, not just lecture. Somebody needs to rock the house. Somebody needs to make people laugh and uplift them at the same time. Ordinary folks do extraordinary work. Is God calling you? Shut off your cell phone. Put your pager on vibrate. Clear away some of those distractions and listen. Is God calling you? Somebody needs to heal the sick, raise the dead, make the blind see, forgive the woman at the well. Well, is God calling you? Is there something you are afraid to do? What are you waiting for? Write that poem. Paint that picture. Finish that novel. Organize and mobilize your community. Hit that open mic. Take the risk. It's not about the Vatican. It's about the yes, I can. Ordinary folks get called to do extraordinary work. Ordinary folks get called to do extraordinary work. Ordinary folks get called to do extraordinary work. Turn your cowrie shell necklace into a clerical collar. Is God calling you?
All right, so I'm guessing some of my atheists are like, what are you doing to me? God ain't calling me to do anything. I'll tell you, as a humanist, I translate God to mean allness, universe, something beyond myself, whatever it means to you. And the other thing is, let me post music say that I do not necessarily support having George W. thrown out of the White House. We are not a political institution, but I thought that that spoken word was too important not to share. And so if you are a Republican who was offended, please let me apologize to you now. I want to start today by asking you a simple question. Whose job is it to do ministry in this congregation? Anybody got an answer for that? All of ours. Good. I served a congregation where they said the ministers. I'm like, oh no. Ministry is the responsibility of everyone. Ministry is, in fact, a way of being in the world. And today, I do want to focus a bit on the role of the parish minister. There are many kinds of professional ministry, including community ministry, religious education ministry, chaplaincy, and beyond. As this congregation thinks about ministry, however, I want you to consider what you want in your next settled minister. But to do it with eyes open, with a sense of what's possible. And if you are new to this denomination or to this congregation, I hope today tells you a little bit about who we are as Unitarian Universalists. What I do want to hit home is that the profession, the career of minister, is a commitment to living a spiritually whole life in a way that is relevant for all of us. We all want to live a spiritually whole life. It is not relegated just to that of the professional minister. Ministers are called from and ordained by our congregations. You are the house in which ministers are born. It is from you that ministry is made possible, even professional ministers. Each aspect of professional ministry is an aspect of everyday living for all of us. It is not some obtuse, unfathomable path, even though it can seem a little overwhelming at times, but one that we all must walk in our own ways. What is your calling? Is it to write a book, to write a song, to hold the hand of the stranger, to support and assist in ways that are unique to you? What is your calling? First, I want to say something about the word minister. Ministers are called to lead as servants, and inherently there is a contradiction in that, to leadership and to service. I come to lead you. Otherwise, you know, what's the point? And at the same time, I come to serve you. It requires an aspect of strength and humbleness in one word. The verb minister comes from the Latin ministrare, which means to serve, attend, or wait upon. And I do want to be clear, don't expect me to wait upon you anytime soon. And don't expect others who are ministering to you to wait upon you. And if you are the minister in question, don't wait upon others. But do be of service. And what does it mean to be of service to one another? One of the oft-quoted things in universalism is from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. And it's written, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" And though as Unitarian Universalists we may not always utilize the Bible as that source and we may not always use the word God, the core message continues to speak up to us today and really needs to be heard throughout the world. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly. As social creatures, we are called to be of service to one another. It is how we as a species have survived. It is how we as individuals have found meaning. We are called to do justice, to be agents for loving wholeness in the world. We are called to loving kindness, to compassion, especially when it is hard. We are called to be strong and humble. So first, ministers, be they lay ministers or professional ministers, are called to lead as servants. Second, ministers are called to be lifelong learners and teachers. There is no point at which a minister says, "Oh, I've got it all now. I know everything. I'm done." In fact, I like the words of Richard Bach in the book Illusions. There's a little book within the book of Illusions that says, if you're asking if you have learned everything, here is one simple test. Are you still alive? In other words, if you are still alive, you're not done learning yet. Who's here is still alive? Are you sure? I want to share a little bit about the struggle that ministers face in trying to be skilled professional ministers. The Unitarian Universalist Association called on some consultants to look at what is it that ministers do, because it has changed over time. 300 years ago, all a minister did was preach and study. They would go and preach 5-10 times a week at different congregations in their area. That was all they did. There was no pastoral care. There was no assumption of social justice. They didn't do the administration. The people did the administration work. There weren't many paid staff. It wasn't something beyond. It was in the hands of the congregation. And over the years, ministry, of course, has changed. I just want to give you a sense. This is a sheet of paper that lists all the skills, knowledge, and behaviors that ordained ministers should have. And if you'll note, there's probably about 50 things on that list. I just want to read the skills. These are the skills that a minister should have. Budgeting, communication, community organizing, conflict management, counseling, decision-making, facilitation, fundraising, homiletics, intergenerational relationship building, leadership development, listening, marketing promotion, multicultural competency, negotiating, networking, pastoral care, problem solving, public speaking, research, and writing. All in 40 hours a week. As you might imagine, that's not an easy thing to accomplish. So much so that ministers give this piece of advice to people considering ministry. If you can do anything else, do that. If you can do anything else, do that. That was repeated all throughout my seminary experience, and I repeat it to people who are considering ministry. If you can do anything else, do that. But if you feel it in your soul, you know that all the gifts that you have lead into that path, then go forth and do it. As you might imagine, there is no way for any one minister to encompass all those skills and those traits in a lifetime. And so ministry is the art of practice, strength and humbleness and humility. It is the walking humbly portion of the Micah quote. It is the power of sharing one's growing edges while still being a leader. It is the power to say, I'm wrong, and yet my leadership still matters. Our society needs this message. Can you imagine how different politics would be today if a person could say, I made a mistake, and not have it be the end of their careers? Reverend Deborah Pope Lance spoke a few years ago to a group of ministers on the abuse of power that's possible in ministry and how ministers come to a place of breaking their covenant with their congregations. And what's interesting is it isn't because these were particularly bad people. It started with one little thing and built and built and built until it came to a point where these folks engaged in inappropriate behavior. And so she writes this: our dear colleagues and friends do make errors of judgment. All ministers, even me and thee, are sometimes unsure of what practice is not bad or best. When we consider the nature of our work, its material, its conditions and complexity, the occurrence of errors become easy to understand. Like the driver of a car whose driving is challenged by dangerous conditions, an icy road, a narrow street, an obscured stop sign. Ministry is challenged by its conditions. We ministers work with the personal, intimate, complex, and changing material of other people's lives and spirits. We navigate a vast sea of feelings, worth and dignity, guilt and shame, disappointment and hope, grief and longing. We are often alone and inadequately supported. What we produce, our sermons and programs, our speaking and listening, are acts of grace and judgment. These bear the marks of our frail, feeble, and failed human selves. Knowing the conditions are challenging, knowing the material is mutable and complex, knowing we all can err, knowing ministry's hazards are great, our vows must have our clearest resolve. End quote. Ministry is hard. If you can do anything else, do that. Be humble. It is because of the pitfalls of these ministers, and all people have a multitude of paths to take, that the one that leads to the worst kinds of behavior are those who pretend that they know what they're doing when they do not, or that they have an experience that they do not. And think in your own life, those times when you wanted to be empathetic or wanted to feel like you were in the know, and you told that little white lie. And in that moment, your integrity was lessened. We all have those moments in our lives. To tell the little lies that make everyone feel better, but take away pieces of our integrity a little bit at a time. An example might be a minister who, in working with a couple around a wedding, creates a story in which they lost a child in order to support the couple. Done out of love, but done in such a way that that makes them seem grander than they are, instead of acknowledging that perhaps they do not know the experience of this couple and maybe have something to learn from them. It's the empathy versus the lie. And each little lie builds up until we start to believe them ourselves. Then the truly egregious things that we hear about on television become possible. Sexual misconduct, stealing money, and abusing power. And here's what I will tell you, after working in numerous congregations over the course of my, even before I was in ministry until now, congregations don't want imperfect ministers and often don't give permission for ministers to make mistakes in a way that's healthy, which makes the lying easier. I will say this congregation does a very good job of supporting your ministers and letting them be human, and all I can say to you is keep up the good work. You're not going to get the perfect person. Don't expect it. But how can you help them be the best minister that they can be so they can help you be the best person you can be? The task for all of us as ministers, lay, personal, or professional, the task for all of us in the world is to practice authenticity, truth-telling, and shame resilience at all possible costs. That is the foundation on which we become lifelong learners, not knowing everything. And again, I repeat, can you imagine if our leaders in the public square assumed that they were lifelong learners who would continue to grow and learn, how much better we would be as a society? As ministers, we constantly study, we go on retreats, we learn new techniques, we speak with our trusted peers about the things we're unsure about. We get advice, we ask for help when needed. One of my interim ministry colleagues believes that all ministers should have three things: an accountant, a therapist, and a spiritual director. And all of these are to help maintain the healthy balance of mind and spirit that allows us to be good servants in the world. In fact, one of my colleagues likes to refer to going to the therapist as a tune-up. I need to go get a tune-up from my therapist today. It's been a little while. Tune-up. This does not mean that you need to have a therapist personally, but it does mean that to make it through our days, we need to be able to reflect with our trusted advisors on the meanings of our decisions, the struggles we face, and the nature of our own perfections, be we in the pew, in the street, or in the pulpit. Finally, I want to talk a little bit about the core areas of fulfilling the call report that I was talking about before with this. I'm going to touch on each one briefly, but I want you to think about these spinning plates. Has anybody seen spinning plates live? You know what I'm talking about? You have them on a bamboo stick, you put a plate and you twirl it. Anybody actually do that themselves? Do we have any plate spinners in the room? You never know. I had a clown in one congregation, so. Okay. The thing about spinning plates is, you know, one, you can probably do. Two, three, okay, maybe you can juggle. Four, five, six, okay, where are they now? They grow in number until it really becomes a miracle that you have all those plates in the air. And we've already talked about a couple of those plates. Being of service, you know, means supporting the plate up in the air, right? Being the service person, but also being the leader, the one who knows how to keep that plate up there. And the second thing is humbleness and being willing to be a lifelong learner, which means knowing that those plates are gonna fall. It isn't the act of keeping them up in the air that matters so much as recognizing sometimes they're gonna fall and putting them right back up there again and keeping going. How many of you find those moments when you're like, just forget it, I am not picking that plate back up? We've all been in that moment, right? Just not gonna do it, I'm done. We all have those times. It's less important that you remember all of these plates more than it is to think about the breadth of how many plates a minister holds in the air. The report came to the conclusion that there are 9 areas that ministers need in order to be capable. And the first plate is leading worship. So we got that plate up in the air. That's what most people think of as ministry. You know, if you ask the general person, they're like, oh yeah, they preach. They do stuff on Sunday so I can fall asleep. That kind of thing. Okay, just checking who's awake. The truth is that we all have that in our moments, these times when we need to, in our lives, create moments of sacred community, whether it is with our loved ones, with our broader family and friends, or with our congregation, or with the world. We need to create moments of sacred community. And that is what worship is about. And the important thing is that ministers don't train to preach. They do, but they train to do worship. They are not there just to do what happens in the 20 minutes that they're speaking, but in the entire thing. And that's also important for all of us to remember. We're not there in those sacred moments to be the ones who have the monologue. We are there to be the ones who hold everybody together in a space, individually and communally. The second plate is official rites of passage. And on that plate goes things like child dedications, coming of age, bridging ceremonies, weddings, funerals, and other kinds of rites of passage in life. I've done a couple of ceremonies of name change for transgender folks who have had a new name. A ceremony of recognition of heritage for an adopted individual who suddenly learned about a family they did not know. And it also includes things like, my favorite, I think, is doing a blessing on a farmer's market. That was a great time. Or the blessing of a home. Life passages. And what is important for all of us in the ministry of our lives is to make sure we take time to celebrate the transitions that happen for us. What is it that you do to make special those significant changes in your life, those new ways of being? The third plate is pastoral care and presence. Ministers train by going into hospital rooms and sitting with people and not giving their opinion 40 hours a week for at least 10 weeks, if not for almost a year and a half. And that means walking into the room of a Seventh-day Adventist who believes you're going to hell as much as it means walking into the room of an atheist. And just being with what's true without trying to hide it or fade it or fix it, in the words of Uriah Mountain Dreamer. So in our lives, we are called to be with people in their times of struggle without trying to fix what they're going through. Who are my fixers? You know who you are. I'm certainly one of them. I struggle with it myself. I want to go in and just make you feel better, which is usually not what someone who is struggling needs. They just need you to be with them and nothing more. Pastoral care and presence. The fourth plate is spiritual development. That's spiritual practice. I like what Reverend Waynes Arneson and Kathleen Rolenz do in their trainings. They talk about it's important to have a daily practice of meditation, prayer, contemplation, quiet time. A weekly practice of going to church. They are ministers. A monthly practice of service to others. An annual practice of retreat, going away somewhere and being with your own spiritual life, whether that is going to an astronomy tower and looking at the cosmos or going to a Buddhist retreat center. And having a life pilgrimage, and that means traveling to someplace significant to you. Spiritual development is about looking at the wholeness of what we need to be with the wonderment and majesty of all that exists. The fifth plate, social justice. That means helping create a world better than the one we were born into, so that the generations to come may live better. The sixth one I hate with a passion, lead administration. How many folks here love organizing and administrative work? I know there's always a couple. I'm like, don't be ashamed. I'm glad you do, because if you didn't, I would be in trouble. You need the administrative stuff. And in our own personal lives, it means keeping things organized so you can find what you need, have what you need, and get what you need done. And if you're like me and you're not very organized, that may be an ongoing struggle, or it may be a strength. Maybe your calling is to help others find that organization in their lives. But we all need to be able to figure out how we organize our worlds so that we can accomplish the good work that we are called to do, to write that novel, to paint that picture, to write that song. The seventh plate is renewal and professional development. And under that seventh plate is really what we call self-care. How many of you engage in self-care? Okay, we're gonna work on that. I saw one hand go up. Self-care is about taking care of yourself. I like how one of my colleagues put it. She said, you have to put on your own oxygen mask before helping others. If parents are putting their kids ahead of them so often that they're not getting out on dates and getting time away from to be with themselves, their kids suffer. It isn't an assistant. It isn't an aid to the lives of their children. It's a hindrance. It may be hard to find that time, but it's important to do it. Putting your own oxygen mask before helping others. A core aspect of any ministry calling. The eighth plate is about serving the larger Unitarian Universalist faith. And on your path, it may just mean serving a larger community than yourself. It could mean the Unitarian Universalist faith. It could mean the world. It could mean Ferguson. It could mean wherever you are. How do you serve a world larger than yourself? And the ninth plate, the final plate, is leading the faith into the future. Been in congregations where I ask, what is the legacy of this church? And folks don't even know what the word legacy means. What was great in asking this congregation what you want the legacy of this church to be, most everybody had an answer. And that's because we here now are only a piece of the puzzle. We are here because 180 years ago, some folks thought maybe what they knew about the universe would matter to folks down the road. And so here we are in this building, laughing in the pews, and being in community. Leading the faith into the future. So ministry is the responsibility of us all. And when you think about all the plates that are up in the air that a minister has to handle, you have to know they can't do it without you. What often happens in a congregation of this size is ministers burn out because there are not enough volunteers who step up, and more ends up on their plate. They end up with more and more plates spinning in the air. And so you as a congregation, you as members and friends and visitors of this community, I invite you to ask yourself, what are you willing to commit to take your fair share of the calling of this congregation? Because while you may have a minister who comes in and has their own vision for the world, the truth is they're coming to help you. Be service to you so that you can live your calling in Alton and Edwardsville and Florissant and St. Charles, St. Louis, and Southwestern Illinois. What is your calling? Ministry is the responsibility of all of us. What professional ministers bring to the table is years of training, opportunities to attend ongoing and relevant conferences and workshops, relevant to ministry and to you as a congregation, and a personal calling to walk together, to be in community with you. Ordained ministers bring unique skills and qualities carefully vetted for the purpose of ministry, and believe me, you don't want me to list the jumps, the hoops that we have to jump through to get to here. The areas they are encouraged to focus on are spiritual practices for living. They are practices that all of us should consider in our daily lives. With so many plates spinning in the air, some are going to drop and crash. That's just it. In the course of the life of this congregation, in your own life, everywhere. Plates crashing all over the place, which has this tendency to be at once annoying and gratifying. That just provides more experience and allows for a replacement plate. To start again and again, forever learning and growing with authenticity and vulnerability and service as the foundation of your work. And so as you consider your own ministry in the world, as you consider what ministry you want to come to this congregation in a couple of years, as you consider what it means to be of service in the world, we invite you always to be present, to be aware of the past, to be forward-looking, forever learning and growing in humbleness, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly. So I ask you, what are you waiting for? Pick up the phone. call now.